At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It is a numbers game. Good Monday morning to you. It's Gil Alexander. Hope you're doing well. Hope your weekend was a fine one. Mine was pretty damn good. We'll get into all that here momentarily. On the show today, of course, guessing lines. That's what we do each and every Monday for week six in the National Football League. Chris Andrews standing by to join us, the South Point Sportsbook Director, my buddy Chrissy, who is going to have his work cut out for him today because of with all the postponements and the rejiggering of the NFL schedule, we're going to have to figure out what games are actually being played next week and which have been scuttled. And we'll give you the whole domino effect of what one postponement means to eight other games and how many teams are affected in the NFL schedule. So we'll get into that. We'll obviously talk about the Lakers briefly. I have a baseball pick for today. Let me begin before we launch into guessing lines, though, with I'm sure what a lot of listeners are waiting to talk about, the victory at the French Open. If you're just landing on this show, this is an army of winners from this show on Iga Swiatek winning the ladies' French Open, the ladies' side of the French Open in Paris over the weekend, Roland Garros. Iga Swiatek is a pick we made for the first time at the end of January. Dan Weston was on the show. We ran the tape last week. We talked about Iga double-digit amount of times after that. Jason Kahn, producer number seven, in his producer number seven sweepstakes entry video, even talked about his Iga Swiatek bet that he made at 10 nickels. Sadly, that went by the wayside. Sorry about that, Jason.
That was very unfortunate circumstances.
But I was just so thrilled for everybody. It was one thing that I won this. It was another thing that everybody, we had at least 100 plus people, and I'm probably being modest about that number, but at least 100 people post to Twitter before the weekend, and then once she won on Saturday, just it was an all-day affair on Twitter, answering everybody, responding to everybody. Everybody was awesome. I'm so pumped for everybody. And this is, and I won't belabor this too much this morning because I know we want to get into guessing lines, but, you know, the very first prediction made on this network, we had a Super Bowl show when VSiN first started in 2017. It was during the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, and Brent leaned over to me and said, you know, give me the value pick for next year's Super Bowl. And I said the Eagles 30-1, and the Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl. And on this show since then, we've had great moments. Tankapalooza, the longest running betting stretch that anyone could ever hope for. The obligation of betting the Washington Nationals as big dogs to the Astros time and time again last year. And just in women's tennis to begin with, Bianca Andreescu to win the 2019 U.S. Open, Sophia Kenin to win the Australian Open earlier this year at 8-1 odds, I believe is where we got her. And then
This is honestly the mic drop moment for this, because I don't think it can get better than this. Like, this is just sort of the moment where we just have to appreciate what just went down. Not only was she as high as a 40-to-1 favorite, I got her as high as 33-to-1, but I know there were some listeners who got her at 40-to-1. But given the distance in time before the event, when we made the call, that 9 months beforehand, the long shot nature of her and the sheer dominance with which she won the tournament, making it a perfectly hedgeable moment going into the finals. I think that's the key betting key of it all, the key betting detail of it all. I don't think it gets better than that. Iga Swiatek dropped 28 games in 14 sets of tennis. She never gave up more than four games, and she only gave up four games in a set twice throughout the entire run, and did not get a favorable draw. Her opening round match was against Marketa Vondrousova, who was a finalist in the French Open last year. It was one of Dan Weston's pre-tournament picks, futures picks, to make. She crushed her 6-2, 6-1. She ends up having to play the number one seed, Simona Halep, crushes her 6-1, 6-2, and then ends up playing Sofia Kenin, our girl in the Australian Open, who's as mentally steely as they come, and beat her 6-4, 6-1, cracking Kenin mentally in the finals. As they said in the old Milwaukee commercials, it don't get no better than this. It's a double negative, but you know what I mean. Skill Alexander, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. So let us all enjoy the moment. And again, I'm just so happy for everybody who bet alongside Iga Swiatek. There are her numbers, by the way, according to Bet365. 6-2-6-1, 6-4-6-3, 6-2-6-1, 6-2-6-3, 6-1-6-2-6-1, 6-4-6-1. 14 sets, won 14 sets. The youngest female French Open winner since 1992. And was just the thing where I had seen her get to the fourth round last year on clay as an 18-year-old. Got all the way to the fourth round before Halep crushed her. But she had won every single final she had played on the satellite tour. The ITF, the International Tennis Federation Tour, seven of them. And she gets it done in a big way. So congratulations to all. Group hug, group high fives. It is just a sensational moment. And may everybody enjoy. Hope you had as great a weekend as I did enjoying that, celebrating that. Two-city celebration for me, Jason. All right, let's guess some lines. That said, week number six of the National Football League. Let's bring him in. He's by Mishpucha from the South Point Hotel Casino. It's Chrissy Andrews. Good morning to you, Chris.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you,
and
sir,
that was one hell of a pick, and you deserve to revel in it. So, and so does everybody that followed you. That I'm sure they did really well. So good for them.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's what I'm most happy about, that everybody, well, the amazing army of people who jumped on that pick.
It really was. I don't follow tennis, but of course I follow you, and I could just see all the comments. You drew an army of fans and bettors who turned your suggestion into some serious cash.
That's what it's all about here. So we just a great moment, and I hope people basked in it for at least the weekend, that much. And then there was the NFL yesterday, Chrissy, which went well for me. It was 4-1 in the contest. Survivor pick got through. It was a bit of a survivor carnage, which we'll get into. And so a lot of things to talk about. And I said at the top, you got your work cut out for you here today, because between what is getting played and what isn't is a whole nother discipline.
Yeah, I was talking to Matt Humans last night. And he's asking me if he looked at all the schedule possibilities. I said, Matt, I really haven't, as everything's written in pencil right now. So until it comes up, there's no reason for me to look ahead and start dealing with it, because I don't know what's real and what isn't, and neither is anybody else. So, we already lost a couple of college games, by the way, for the week. So, hopefully we won't lose any pros. But, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
And the one thing we do know is, because Denver and New England Well, okay, Denver, New England are postponed. We'll get into the whole domino effect of that. But we know tonight is the Chargers in New Orleans. New Orleans, without Michael Thomas tonight, are 7-point favorites against the Chargers. And with and the story with Michael Thomas, just to get the exact wording here, sources telling Adam Schefter that the decision came after the star wide receiver had an altercation with a teammate at practice this weekend. It was with safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson, according to multiple reports and confirmed by ESPN, has nothing to do with Michael Thomas's injury. So New Orleans Chargers tonight, then tomorrow Buffalo, Tennessee. And so as long as that game's scheduled for tomorrow, we don't have a Thursday night game next week, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So shall we start with Sunday morning? Let's try this. Guessing lines.
Well,
week
I'll
six.
Tell you what.
Yes.
I'm throwing you a curveball here.
Oh, okay.
Can we start with Tuesday? Because this game is looks like it's going to be played, but there has not been numbers on it all week. So I'm definitely throwing you a curveball. As you were talking about Iga Swiatek, I was doing a little work myself trying to figure out what number I like. But the number's just popping up, and I think we should probably discuss that before we go forward. That's
please.
Tomorrow night's game, Buffalo at Tennessee.
Buffalo at Tennessee. Now, I'm going to see what I guessed last week on it just to see how my thinking might have changed with 1 week of idleness, right? Like that, I think that's an interesting exercise,
yeah,
too. What did I think it was going to be last? Last week, I thought it was going to be Tennessee minus 1.5. Now, a week later, with Tennessee not having played an additional week, so they've been off for a while. They've only played 3 football games. That's probably, it's interesting. Just having not played an additional week, that probably swings a little more to Buffalo. Maybe it's a pick 'em, maybe it's Buffalo minus 1.5, I'd say. I'll go with
most Buffalo. It was Buffalo like 3.5, 3 with a lot of juice on the favorite. Buffalo the favorite. So it has really swung Buffalo's way. Now, my numbers, without a home field advantage, are Buffalo by 3.5. But again, without a home field advantage. So I'm probably, and I'm still, my study on home fields is still very inconclusive, let's say that. So I'm going to probably open this game 3, and I have a feeling the public will come in and bet the Bills at the minus 3. But again, I think Tennessee's been underrated all year, but I still think 3 is what I'm going to open this one.
Buffalo minus 3. And that is it's a quirky thing, right? My guess would have been one thing last week, and it would have shifted based on just Tennessee being rusty. Is it rest or rust, right? That's a whole thing with it. So Buffalo minus 3. Okay.
I also think, you know, football players, they talk about it all the time. They're really creatures of habit. You do this on Tuesday. You do this on Wednesday. You do this on Thursday. Blah, 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 right down the line. Well, I mean, they've been more disrupted than any team, you know, by far, I would say, so far in this league. And Buffalo's, you know, I don't hear of any problems with Buffalo. So I think the situation has kind of swung Buffalo's way. And I don't know what I had last week. I don't have my notes. But I think 3 is probably a legitimate number. And I think the money will show on Buffalo at the minus 3.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Don't have a problem with it. Said Buffalo minus 1.5, but I get it, the 3. All right, what's first on Sunday then? Week 6.
Okay, now here we go. Sunday, the Bears at the Panthers.
Bears at the Panthers. The 4-1 Chicago Bears, pardon me, and the 3-2 Carolina Panthers. Bears, as we know, on extra rest here. They beat Tampa Bay 20-19 on Thursday night. Did so behind Nick Foles, 30 of 42 for 243, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 3 sacks. Allen Robinson, 10 catches for 90 yards. Khalil Mack had 2 sacks. But they only had 243 total yards, only 35 rushing yards. And as I talked about on this show on Friday, Matt Nagy, Lincoln Riley did this with Oklahoma on Saturday too. These coaches just do not, I do not understand how they do not understand how to win football games at the end. Now, I know it worked out for both of those guys in the end. But in the case of the Bears, 2nd and 9 at the Tampa Bay 24 with 1:28 left, down 19-17. Tampa Bay only has 1 timeout left. All they have to do, the Bears, is run the ball into the line, Tampa will have to spend their last timeout, and then they can run it into the line again and basically bleed the clock down enough so that they'll get their field goal, and Tom Brady will have no time left on the clock to operate, or very minimal time. Instead, Foles' incomplete pass to Robinson, and it completely changes the win probability of the game, because then when the Bears kick the go-ahead field goal to make it 20-19, Tom Brady has all the time in the world. Now, I know Tom Brady thought he had five downs, so it ends up working out for the Bears in the end. But good Lord, what are you doing? So the Bears will have extra rest. Carolina yesterday gets it done again. Carolina beats Atlanta 23-16. I know you've been a big Teddy Bridgewater guy for a long time. He was 27 of 37 for 313. Two touchdowns, no picks, sacked zero times, was not sacked. Mike Davis, 16 of 89 on the ground, nine catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson, 8 for 112. DJ Moore, 4 for 93 and a nice touchdown down the sideline. 437 total yards for the Panthers. I'll say Panthers minus 3.5, Chris.
Well, you're a little bit high. It's 2.5 or 3. 3 with juice on the dog, 2.5 with juice on the favorite. I kind of like the 2.5 a little better. But I think this Panther team is kind of coming on. And I'm looking at Teddy, my notes on Teddy. His QBR was 85.7. And I think the week before, and again, boy, these weeks just run into each other. I can't always remember. But I think he had his best game since the injury the week before. And you're right. I have loved Teddy Bridgewater since he was in college. And I was, I felt for the kid when he had that devastating injury, because I really think Teddy was penciled in for stardom in this league. They're also starting to run the ball very well, even without Christian McCaffrey. And I think this team's coming on. And the Bears, are they the worst 4-1 team in the history of the league? I mean, I think you can make a legitimate argument for that.
Could legitimately be 0-5. Yeah. Really? Conservatively, yeah. 1-4.
Easily. So I'm going to go with a 2.5, I think, right now. But I understand your feelings on it. And, my power ratings only have them half a point better than the Bears. But again, I'm still looking at some of this home field stuff. So I think I'm going to open 2.5, see where they want to go with it. But I understand your point. And by the way, let's say this. They got Matt Rhule, a rookie coach for the Carolina. Sometimes these guys work out great. Oftentimes they don't. This guy looks like he's learning the NFL game a little bit. And I always really liked him in college. I think he's a smart guy.
So did
Maybe
I.
He's figuring this out and improving this team along the way.
Started 0-2. Now they're 3-2. And as you said, doing it without Christian McCaffrey, who will come back here sooner than later.
Yeah.
I like my number better. I like the 3.5 better. Tiger. Chicago Bears, Paper Tiger. All right. Number two, what's next?
Detroit at Jacksonville.
Detroit at Jacksonville. Detroit having a bye this week. Jacksonville, here's the thing about that game. By the way, Jacksonville loses to Houston 30-14 in a game that looks like they got blown out. Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew, 31 of 49 for 301, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Laviska Shenault, his number one receiver, 7 for 79. But Jacksonville... And Jacksonville was depleted defensively. So they shouldn't have been in this game, but man, were they in this game. They missed two field goals. Steven Hauschka missed two field goals, one of which was from 24 yards out. So those are two field goals wiped off the board. I think the other one was like 47 yarders. And then they had a pick. They had a short field. They were right in the game. They could have taken the lead. Instead, they end up with 0 points. I mean, there was all kinds of things that Jacksonville, they just couldn't get out of their own way. And so they end up losing this game and not covering. But it was way closer than the score indicates, which I think is more of an indictment of the Texans than it is saying anything about the Jaguars. I mean, I don't have much else to say about this. Detroit coming off a bye week here. I'll say Detroit minus 3 at Jacksonville.
Yeah, you're a little light. My numbers come to 4, but it's mostly 3.5. I think there was 1-3. There's 1-3 at Pinnacle with a bunch of juice on the favorite. So I think the 3.5 is okay. Like I said, my number actually comes a little higher. I think Jacksonville, going back to that game yesterday, it probably was an indictment on Houston, because I thought the situation with the firing of O'Brien, the fact that they hadn't won a game, playing a division rival who they should beat, you know, and a lot of wise guy money did show up on Houston there at the end. And I think they had the right idea. But Houston, we'll get to them in a little bit, I guess. But, you know, they're just not that good right now, although I felt good for Romeo Crennel. I mean, that guy's been around the league for a long time. Nice to see him get the win. But I like 3.5. I think that's okay. But I would like it a little bit higher if it came higher, because I just think Jacksonville right now is not a very good football team. Not that Detroit is. But, like I said, my numbers just come a beat higher. That's all.
Yeah.
So, but 3.5, I think, is fine.
In a season in which Bill O'Brien and now Dan Quinn in Atlanta, along with the GM Dimitroff, have lost their jobs, Bill O'Brien being both coach and GM. If Matt Patricia loses this game to Jacksonville, I wonder if he is third. I wonder. What's another one, Chris, on Sunday morning?
We have the Falcons at the Vikings.
So the Falcons, as I just mentioned, no Dan Quinn. Done as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And here's the thing. It's kind of a move you probably should have made before the season. I agree with our buddy Chris Felica, who said, now it just kind of looks like you're admitting your mistake doing it now. I kind of agree with that. Atlanta loses, as we mentioned, to Carolina. Matt Ryan was 21 of 37 for 226, no touchdowns, one pick. Sacked twice. Todd Gurley looking good, 14 for 121 at a touchdown. Calvin Ridley, 8 for 136. And then there is Minnesota. Whew. Kirk Cousins, 27 of 39 last night in the Vikings' defeat at the hands of the Seahawks, 27 to 26. Wow. Alexander Mattison, 20 for 112. Dalvin Cook, 17 for 65 and a touchdown before he went out with a groin injury. Adam Thielen, 9 for 80 for two touchdowns. The Vikings outgained the Seahawks 449 to 314. They had the advantage in time of possession, 39 minutes and 28 seconds to 20 minutes and 42 yeah. seconds. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to give you my guess right now, and then we're going to get into all the shenanigans at the end of that game. I'm going to say it's Minnesota minus 4. Hold your thoughts on that, Chris, because I want to...
Gil, I like your number better.
Thank
it's
you.
3.5. My numbers come to 3.5. Excuse me. My numbers come to 3.5 with no home field. I think you got to give Minnesota a little bit here. So I would like this at least 4 or better. I'll open 3.5, see what they want to do with it. But again, if I see it skewing higher, I'm going to go higher. But let's talk about that game last night, Mr. Analytics.
Let's.
Okay.
I think you might be surprised how I feel. I'm curious how you feel. Should I start? I'll set it up.
No, let me start.
You start.
You know the analytics much better than I do. I can see that 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
All right. They give you like the win probability, you know, if he goes for it and misses, if he goes for it and makes it. And I understand if he goes for it and makes it, it's essentially 100%. Or if he kicks the field goal and goes up by 8, what the win probability is. My question, and I don't know the answer, so I'm asking you, and if our friend Rufus is listening, I know he's big on these, and he could give a pretty detailed answer, too. They gave the win percentage possibilities if they go for it and don't make the first down, and I think it was 6%, if I remember correctly. Does that take it into account that it's Russell Wilson on the other side?
No, it does not.
Or does it have, or is the same win amount with whether it's C.J. Beathard, the quarterback of the opposition, or Tom Brady, or some other stiff that they just brought up off the injured list, or the fact that it's Russell Wilson. Now, we've been doing this show for I don't know how many years. Most of these times I've been a bookmaker. A few years I was independent. And I've told you from the start, when I'm a bookmaker, I hate rooting against this guy.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I'm talking about. I hate it. And unfortunately, I'm in a position where I have to root against them all the time, including last night. We had a ton of money line play on Seattle. If Minnesota holds them out, we have one of the biggest days we've ever had at the South Point. As it was, I'm not complaining. We had a pretty good day. Everything was fine. But if we'd have held them out of the end zone, it would have been a monster day. And as soon as they got the ball back, you can ask my wife. She's sitting there with me, and like I just have this look on my face, like, We're going to lose. I know we're going to lose. Russell Wilson's going to take him down, and we're
going to
lose.
There was no chance he wasn't going to.
Yeah, there's no chance. So I want to ask you, when they give you that percentage, what does that mean? Does that take into account who the quarterback is, or doesn't it?
No, it does not. It does not. Yeah, it does not. I mean, the you're talking about the next gen stats that they flashed up at the end of that game, where the Vikings win probability was 94% prior to that 4th-and-1 play, and if they gained the yard, then it immediately goes to 100%. So that is, you know, whether it's Russell Wilson slinging Sammy Barr, Y.A. Tittle, that one wouldn't matter if they get that yard. But if they don't get that yard is what you're referring to. And no, that is not that does the algorithm does not factor in who the guy is on the other side of the field, which is you're right. It's a very good point. We're going to run into a commercial. I have so much to say about this because you have to go back to when the Vikings were up 25-21. The Vikings go up 25-21 with just over 7 minutes left. And the first decision is do you kick the extra point or do you go for two?
Yeah.
And I hear there's a lot of people retroactively who are like, well, you should have gone for two because then if you were up six, then the field goal becomes the automatic choice at the end of the game and you'd be up nine and you wouldn't hesitate to kick the field goal because then it would make it two scores. But I don't know if I heard any of those people say at that moment they should go for two. Because I think if you kick the extra point and you're up five, then a field goal still puts you up eight, which would require a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie you. It's still two events on a football field. So I don't agree with the people who sort of retroactively are like, oh, they should have gone for two. I don't get that. We'll get back to the rest of this here momentarily. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Gil Alexander's. It's Chrissy Andrews. This is Guessing Lines for Week 6. Chris, we could do an hour on this game, so we'll have to move on here at some point. But let's get back to it and wrap it up. So up 25-21 with just over 7 minutes left, the Vikings elect to kick the extra point. All right. Well, so I'm okay with that. Some people disagree. I don't agree. I think it's fine to kick the extra point there because then a field goal still puts you up eight, which requires two events for the other team to tie you. But then the end, so it's 2nd-and-16 at the Seattle 21 with 2:44 left in the game, okay? And it's 26-21 at this point, Vikings. 2nd-and-16 at the Seattle 21 with 2:44 left, and the Vikings get a 12-yard gain. Now, that's the play that no one's going to focus on, but that's the play that got them into this predicament to begin with, right? They're a victim of their own success. Because if they don't get the 12 yards, let's say they just have your normal 3-yard or 4-yard play, they'll be fine kicking a field goal on a subsequent down if they don't get the first down, right? They're just like, fine, we'll just kick the field goal. But no, they got 12 yards, which got them to a 3rd-and-4, and then they got 3 yards. So that's when it became 4th-and-1 at the Seattle 6 with 2 minutes left. So the question, Chrissy, becomes what do you do? what do you do? A field goal puts you up 8. A successful sneak, quarterback sneak, will end the game. By the way, that's what I was in favor of at that moment. I was just a sneaking.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Absolutely, yeah.
Here was another option. Try to draw them off sides for the free first down, or then settle for the field goal to go up 8. Instead, they do none of those. They run your standard run play, and the running back decides to just crash into the line. Doesn't work out. So, by the way, for survivors who end up winning this on Seattle, what a just escape job. But this is one of the weirdest box scores you'll ever see, because Seattle was 0-for-7 on third downs in this entire football game, but they were 2-for-2 on fourth, both of which came on the subsequent drive.
Yeah.
4th-and-10 and 4th-and-8. And Seattle wins the game because Russell Wilson, as you say, of course, matriculates the ball down the field and hits DK Metcalf for the winning score. Seattle 27, Vikings 26. What were you in favor of doing down there?
I would have kicked the field goal. You go up 8.
Yeah.
They got to get a long drive, you know, presumably, and score the touchdown and then get a deuce just to tie the game. Yeah, I thought you had to kick. Mostly because I do not want to give Russell Wilson the ball back. Russell Wilson. A lot of other guys, yeah, have that. Here you go. But Russell Wilson, no.
I was in favor of the sneak, if I'm being honest, because I think, again, you put the game away if you convert that. I wasn't in favor of any other offensive play. But the field goal would have been second to me to the sneak, because you're right. Even though Russell Wilson gets the ball back, he still has to achieve two things. And adding that second thing would be obviously the key to that kicking of the field goal, because you go up 8. By the way, Seattle has allowed 25-plus points now in 10 straight home games. That's an amazing stat, an NFL record. I thought Pete Carroll was a defensive guy. 25-plus points in 10 straight home games. All right, so Minnesota favored by how much in the end against Atlanta after all that?
3.5.
3.5, okay. What's next?
Well, next up is Houston at Tennessee, and there is no number on this game. I guess right now there's a lot of question marks, as will be the case throughout the year. So right now it's scheduled, but I see no numbers on this game. I think everybody wants to see, will they actually pull this game off tomorrow? Because Tennessee has had, 23, I think, COVID positives?
23 COVID positives, players and personnel, yeah.
Yeah,
he plays Buffalo supposedly tomorrow, and if they do play on Sunday, we'll be on extra short rest of 5 days between games. By the way, yeah. Houston, Deshaun Watson in defeat against... in victory yesterday against Jacksonville, 25 of 35 for 359, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 1 sack. David Johnson, 17 carries for 96 yards. Brandon Cooks, 8 catches for 161, a touchdown. They had 486 total yards, but they will be a dog to Tennessee. We just don't know if the game's going to get played, because let's just take it one game at a time. We'll see if the Buffalo-Tennessee game gets played on Tuesday. But I would imagine if it does... The Tennessee would probably be just shy of a touchdown favorite or something like that. That would be my guess. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I would have it 4.5 with no home field. So that would probably put us up near the 6.5.
Yeah, I had 6. Let's do one more.
So we'll see.
Let's do one more.
Your Washington football team against the New York Giants.
Oh, Alex Smith. Kyle Allen started the game for the Washington football team, who lost to the Rams. As you probably know, lost to the Rams 30-10, did the Washington football team. Kyle Allen was 9 of 13 for 74 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. He had 1 carry for 7 yards. That was for a touchdown, but then got hurt on a play where he got helmet to helmeted, and in came Alex Smith. Chills inducing. He suffered one of the most gruesome injuries in NFL history when he broke his tibia and fibula during a November 2018 loss to the Texans. His fracture would become infected, which had doctors seriously considering amputating his leg. Instead, he endured 17 surgeries and had to relearn how to walk and run, all with the goal of getting back onto the field. As Smith himself said, quote, "The next thing I remember is waking up several weeks later, faced with the decision of amputation or limb salvage at that point." Limb salvage. He doesn't end up doing anything. He was 9 of 17 for just 37 yards, which is 2.2 yards per attempt. But as I said, I don't care. One forward pass, and he's the comeback player of the year. He got sacked 6 times. I was terrified for the guy. But 6 times, the leg held up.
Yeah.
The Washington football team was 2 of 13 on third down. They were 0 of 1 on fourth. They only had 108 total yards. 108 for the whole game. 38 on the ground. Only 24-25 in time of possession. And then there's the Giants, who are 0-5 for the third time in the last 8 seasons, 2013 and 2017 being the others. Both the Jets and Giants, by the way, are 0-5 for the first time ever together. Daniel Jones is not that good at football. He was 20 of 33 for 222 against the Cowboys. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. It's his fourth straight game without a touchdown. Darius Slayton was his number one target, 8 for 129. But Daniel Jones, man, the Giants had so many chances to win that football game. They lose to Dallas, which is a whole nother story. We'll get to that later, 37 to 34. But it's 1-4 Washington at 0-5 Giants. I'm going to call it a pick 'em. You can give me the answer after the break.
No, it's 3.
It's 3 in favor of who?
Okay. I'll tell you after the break.
Okay. You'll tell me after the break. Somebody's a 3-point favorite in this game. I don't get it already. We'll come back. We're continuing. Guessing lines. A very staccato week 6 because we don't know what's getting played and domino effect. We'll get into all that still. Chris, you'll let me know who's favorite here. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Chrissy and I could have done an hour on that Viking sequence at the end against the Seahawks. Now we're on the Washington football team and the Giants. The Washington football team, a game out in the NFC East. The Giants only 2 games back at 0-5. And I'll just say it again. Alex Smith, what a moment that was yesterday coming into the game for the Washington football team. It was just absolutely like, here we are. It's happening. Now, I don't know what the Washington football team is going to do moving forward. I don't know if you keep Alex Smith in there, if you go back to Kyle Allen, but the Dwayne Haskins thing has gone off the rails. They are done. They're Jason LaCanfora reporting that the Washington football team trying to trade Dwayne Haskins, or they're open to trading him, which is a real sudden fall. I wouldn't say from grace, but at least having a productive symbiotic relationship, or at least trying to. Some folks like Lewis Riddick put all the blame on the Washington football team. They say they're doing this kid wrong, that they set him up to fail, that in another organization it would have been much more nurturing. And he's probably right about that. But it's not Ron Rivera's guy, and so they've just hung him out to dry. But anyway, that's where we are. I said a pick 'em. You said one of these teams is favored by 3.
Yeah, the Giants are favored by 3. I have them 1 point better on the neutral field, so I give them a little bit to the Giants. By the way, I heard Haskins wasn't even at the stadium yesterday.
No.
The report was he wasn't feeling well when they sent him home, so we know that's a lie.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree with Riddick. I liked Haskins a lot coming out of college. I thought he was going to be really good. And I'm not sure if he's salvageable at this point or not, but he has to go to the right team, right coach, get all that kind of stuff around him. By the way, let me mention the Giants. And I've always kind of been a little bit of a closet Giants fan simply because of the division they're in. Okay, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I hate the Cowboys. Growing up in Pittsburgh, my dad drilled into me, we hate everything from Philadelphia. And then number 3, the other team is the Washington football team owned by Daniel Snyder, one of the most despicable human beings on earth. So I kind of like the Giants. So I was rooting, we needed them. But they got screwed out of 2 touchdowns yesterday on some pretty iffy, two touchdowns, legitimate touchdowns.
Yeah.
On some pretty iffy calls.
The one.
And I remember back, and I threw it out there on Twitter, and a couple guys remember this play. Back in the 90s, they were playing the Giants, and I don't think it was a playoff game, but I think they would get in. And they had a big sweep around then, and I think scored, and they called a holding on Charles Way that I still have yet to see any hold whatsoever. And that was a total screw job with Dallas getting every call from the league. And it carried through to yesterday again because the Giants got screwed.
And Chrissy keeps checking the Charles Wave video at least daily just to see if he can find that old. Every day you check it once.
I wanted to go to find it, you know, and I couldn't find it yesterday. If somebody has it, post it.
Well,
I'm not sure exactly what year.
Well, the two yesterday that you're referring to, because I was watching both of them, the second one was the supposed pick. Okay. You know, that one I'm not going to make as big a deal of, I guess, but it probably was a screw job. The one before that, where it was the fake field goal, where the left tackle didn't put, like, a split. The left tackle put his hands on his thighs a fraction of a second after the snap, right? So it was kind of a simultaneous thing. And if he doesn't go into that stance, then it's a flag. But the fact that they flagged that was so unbelievably ticky-tack. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They just wiped out this unbelievable fake field goal, which resulted in a touchdown and would have been a 7-point Giants lead. And I looked at Joe Judge, and I got to be honest with you. I felt terrible for that guy because I'm like, wow, you can't win a game, and they are not letting you win a game either, are they? Like, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal for Joe Judge and the Giants, and the Cowboys end up winning that game. Jeez. I'm with you. By the way, the Dolphins, we'll get to the Dolphins soon, they end up crushing the Niners, but they didn't get any favors from the refs either. That's another story. We'll get into that here momentarily. What's next?
By the way, I'm going to open the King 3. Okay, Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Oh, you are opening at 3. Okay. I see. I'll take
it. I am.
That is,
three.
You know what that screams to me? That screams to me, tease the Washington football team to 9. What was the one you said?
I'm sorry.
What was the one you said?
Browns at the Steelers.
Ooh, AFC North clash. 4-1 Browns, 4-0 Steelers. The Browns beat the Colts yesterday. Listen, Phillip Rivers is terrible at football, and this should not be a news flash to anybody. He's been terrible at football now for a few years. Baker Mayfield, 21 of 37 for 247, two touchdowns, two picks, and was sacked once. Jarvis Landry was his number one target, 4 for 88. The Browns were 10 of 17 on third downs. The supposedly great Colts defense couldn't get them off the field. Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers win over the, Cleveland won that game against Indianapolis by the score of 32-23. They do it as 1-point closing favorites. And then Pittsburgh ends up beating Philadelphia and ends up covering 38-29. That was a late cover. Big Ben, 27 of 34 for 239, three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Chase Claypool, 7 for 110 and three touchdowns through the air. Also had a touchdown on the ground. By the way, that guy on Red Zone, Scott Hansen, acted like he had never heard of Chase Claypool before. He was like, hey, do you have a new breakout star in the National Football League? We all said it on draft day. What a great pick by the Steelers. If you saw him in college, you knew this was possible. And the Steelers can pick themselves some wideouts. Claypool, 4 touchdowns total. The Steelers were 11 of 15 on third downs against the Eagles. The Eagles couldn't get them off the field. They did have 8 penalties for 86 yards. They got to clean that up. I'll say Pittsburgh, -6 at home against the Browns.
Well, let me just tell you, my power ratings have the Steelers 1 point better than Cleveland. Now, they got to give them a little something for the home field. I think they had 7,500 fans there, so it made a little bit of a difference. So right now I see 3.5 and 4. I got to tell you, I think I like the 3.5 better. Let's start with Pittsburgh. I've been saying since week one, something is wrong with this defense. Now, if we go through position by position, they should probably be the best defense in the league. And some of the Twitter conversation last night from Pittsburgh people was they have lost a lot of confidence in Kevin Butler, the defensive coordinator for the Steelers. Hmm. You know, and I kind of have agreed with it. They should be much, much better, but they're not doing enough to capitalize on the abundance of talent that they have. But this defense is nowhere near as good as last year. And who did the game? Jonathan Vilma did the game yesterday, and he says, well, as long as the Steelers can hold them, if they can score 20 points with their vaunted defense, they'll be able to win the game. No, they'd be like 1-4 or 0-5 with that vaunted defense scoring 20 points.
No.
So You know, that was a terrible statement. And now I'll go on to Cleveland. And, you know, for years, people I know and trusted their opinions, but tell me, this Cleveland team has a great roster, but they were missing certain things. And you could see the main thing they were missing was coaching. Okay, I think they solved that. They have a great offensive line. You know, and I think Baker Mayfield has a chance to be a real good quarterback. Well, he's got a lot of talent, but now he's got the offensive line. Their defense still needs to get a little bit better, but you know that team is really good. They're finally, I think, getting up to their potential. And you know, I had Cleveland in every one of my contests yesterday. I really like them a lot, and this team's good. I'm going to open this game 3.5. This is going to be a really, really good game and a big test for the Steelers. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns go in there and beat them.
So what did you open this at?
3.5.
Wow, I'm way off on that one. Way off. I had Pittsburgh.
That's it, 3.5 and 4, but I like the 3.5 better.
Whew, I don't have that opinion of Pittsburgh, but you laid it out pretty interestingly, and you are a Steelers guy.
Yeah, go look at their defensive numbers, Gil.
Yeah.
Forget the personnel, because their personnel is fantastic. But go look at their numbers. It's not good in the least.
Yeah, got away with the cover. That was one of my picks yesterday. I got away with that cover because they got a late because the reason, yeah. By the way, the reason that we got away with that cover, we haven't gotten to the Eagles yet. I was going to save it for the Eagles talk, but I could just get it here in before the break. The Eagles in that game, and I want to get the exact situation correct, time and distance. So fourth and five with over 3 minutes left. Listen, Chrissy, when you have the chance to kick a 57-yard field goal on 4th and 5 with just over 3 minutes left, 3:23 left to be exact, and the Steelers only needing a field goal to beat you even if you make it, you just got to take that shot, don't you? The Steelers were 31-29 at that moment. And as soon as Doug Peterson rolled out the field goal unit on that, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get this cover because he's going to miss this field goal and I'm going to get it down. And the Steelers are going to, and that's exactly what happened. It's unbelievable with these coaches, what they do. Like, their decision-making is so ridiculous. And these are not the retroactive. I'm very careful when I think people are saying stuff retroactively and are results oriented. I'm careful to say that. And I'll be honest with you what I think in the moment. These are the ones in the moment where you're just screaming your head off. You're like, what is this team doing? 57 years. What does that get you? It doesn't get you much. Yeah, it gets you the lead if you make it, but it's a very Pyrrhic victory at that point. Because it's like, okay, you still got 3 minutes left for Big Ben to kill you. All you need to do is get back in field goal position. We still got a whole bunch of games to get to, and we will. We'll update Survivor and everything. Coming back, Guessing Lines, Week 6 of the NFL with Chris Andrews, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Chris Andrews is with us, of course, my mishpucha. Chrissy, how many games are early next week? Or can you even make that assessment at this point? How many games are in the early window?
There are two late games.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 9 early games.
Nine early and two late. Oh, they got to move one of those. All right, what's next early then?
Too late. That's all. Holy cow. Yeah, that's weird.
Well, because
two
on Monday. There's two on
and
Monday.
Two on Monday.
Two on Monday, yeah.
All right, what's next?
Next up, we got the Ravens at the Eagles.
By the way, this all a tribute to the old Stardust radio show that Roxy Roxborough used to be a part of back in the day. So you said the Eagles, was that the one? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ravens at the Eagles.
Ravens at the Eagles. Baltimore, 4-1. The Ravens get it done yesterday against Cincinnati. That was the only game I got wrong this weekend in the contests. I had the Bengals, and that proved to be a horrific pick on my part. Baltimore wins it 27-3. They do so as 12.5-point favorites. Bengals couldn't even get there for teaser players. And then Philadelphia, who we talked about with their game against Pittsburgh, which they end up losing by 9, Pittsburgh covering the 7.5 because of that decision by Doug Peterson, crew to try to kick a 57-yard field goal on 4th and 5 with 3:23 left. And even if they make it, the Steelers only would have needed a field goal to beat them. So Lamar Jackson, by the way, in the win over Cincinnati, 19 of 37 for 180, two touchdowns, one pick, and a sack. His targets, Marquise Brown, Hollywood, 6 for 77 and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, 6 for 56 and a touchdown. Carson Wentz in their defeat against the Steelers, rather, 20 of 35 for 258, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked five times. Miles Sanders, Pittsburgh native, had a big day, 11 for 80, two touchdowns. Travis Fulgham, once again, 10 for 152 and a touchdown. The Eagles were 10 of 14 on third downs themselves against your Steelers defense, to your point, Chrissy. And the Eagles shot themselves in the foot a lot. Nine penalties for 84 yards. Could have been very different. That said, the 1-3-1 Eagles, who are a half game out of the lead in the NFC East, I'll say Baltimore is a 7-point favorite in this game.
You're a shade light. It's 7.5. Looking pretty much universal, 7.5. Once again, my power ratings come higher, but diminishing returns, as they always are in the NFL, particularly with road favorites. But I thought Carson Wentz looked about as good as he has all year. Maybe that Steeler defense helped him. I don't know. But I like 7.5. I think we've got to go over the 7 in this game here. And I'm going to start with 7.5. Wise guys, I'm not sure the wise guys will jump in and take this one. I think it's, I think you got to be over 7 here myself.
All right. Let's do another one.
Cincinnati at Indianapolis.
All right. As I mentioned, bad pick by me on Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Joe Burrow, 19 of 30 for 183, no touchdowns, one pick. Again, he was sacked. He was sacked seven times. Like, give this guy some protection, my God. The Bengals only had 205 total yards of offense against the Ravens. That's not good. It's not 108 like the Washington football team against the Rams, which is just comical. But it's 205 against the Ravens in their defeat. So the Bengals fall to 1-3-1. And then there's Indianapolis, who I mentioned lost to the Browns. Colts are still 3-2. Phillip Rivers, 21 of 33 for 243. No touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked once. Phillip Rivers has not had a multi-touchdown game this season yet. And the Colts defense, to my point earlier, season high in points allowed 32 and yards allowed 385. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews. This is a numbers game here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines for week number 6, the weekly exercise where we hope you're playing as well. An interactive game, if you will, where the object is to see what the guess is, see what Chrissy's actually posting, and hopefully in that exercise extract some value as you approach handicapping next weekend's NFL lines and NFL games. Cincinnati at Indianapolis. I will say it's the Colts minus 7 here. I will guess that timidly.
Yeah. It's 7.5 and 8, mostly 8. I have a Colts 6 points better on a neutral. And I'm like you, I went for the Bengals yesterday. Although, like I said, I did have the Browns against Indianapolis on every one of my contest tickets. I think I'm going to go with the 7.5. And, you know, for years, Gil, on this show, we talked about how the Chargers tend to do chargery things, the blow games.
Yes.
Are we sure it's not Phillip Rivers tends to do Phillip Riversy things blow games? And the more I look at it, I think that's the case. And I said it from the beginning. I don't know why they traded for Phillip Rivers. I would have lived with Jacoby Brissett for a year, maybe try to talk Andrew Luck out of retirement or draft a quarterback in his next draft. But Phillip Rivers, and he's long in the tooth, and he's been the most overrated quarterback for, what, like 15 years now. And I don't know. I have no confidence in him. 7.5 and 8. I'm using 7.5. And I think, Joe Burrow played. He really was horrible. He really, I know they didn't protect him. I understand that. But he really did not play well at all. But Phillip Rivers, boy, he's going to give me an opportunity to beat him, seems like almost every week. And I'm going to go with 7.5.
I don't know what I love so far on these lines. I think the Washington teaser I love so far. And I think Carolina was low. I think I like Carolina the most so far. This one here, Yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers, you know, we brought it up on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, which we do live from the D each and every Thursday. The game we always bring up is the Chargers last year against the Broncos, where the Chargers had the ball third down in plus territory late in the game, and we were all on the Chargers, and Philip Rivers just for no reason just threw the ball into the dirt. Like, he just gave up on a play, like, three seconds into the play. It's like, oh, that read doesn't work. Bye. End of play. And they ended up losing the game to the Broncos. And it was just like one of these perplexing plays. You're like, I'm never betting on this guy again. He short circuits, yeah, or he just doesn't understand the context of the moment, or I don't know what it is, but you may get your Jacoby Brissett sooner than later, Chrissy. You really might.
Well, he got called for safety for intentional grounding in the end zone. I mean, it was so obvious. He threw it like, yeah, he threw it 80 yards or whatever, but I mean, like way out of bounds. There's nobody anywhere in the vicinity. It's like the refs are looking like, are you kidding me? Of course you got to call this. Jeez. You know, and at that point, it was still a pretty close game. But I mean, he just does those kind of things. You know, he really does.
All right. Let's do another. We're catching up.
Hey, I want to interject something right here. The Please. Fours are disappearing on the Steelers. And I'm gonna go on record right now. I have a feeling the wise guys are gonna be on the Browns in this game. Just, you know, mark that down.
Fours
I'm
are,
telling you the winner.
Four,
I'm telling you.
Fours are disappearing which way?
They're going down 3.5.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the wise guys will be on the Browns in this game. And I think they might have the right idea.
Wow, you are really down
okay.
on the team. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I am. Packers at the Buccaneers. Now, this is a great quarterback matchup, by the way, but this should be a lot of fun to watch. Packers at the Buccaneers.
Packers at Buccaneers. Is this still an early game?
It's a late
This
game.
Is the first late game.
This
I'm
is the
sorry,
first late game.
Game. Yeah.
Okay. I want to do the whole domino effect here after this. Packers at Buccaneers. Packers are 4-0, coming off a bye week now for this one. At Tampa Bay, who's got extra rest themselves, having lost to the Bears this past Thursday night. Packers are 4-0, Bucks are 3-2. Tom Brady in that loss to the Bears was 25 of 41 for 253, one touchdown, no picks, sacked three times, and as people like to say, the senior moment that he had there late. Ronald Jones, the second, 17 carries for 106. Bucks penalized all over the field, 11 for 109 in that game. And as what we're referring to is that Brady appeared to lose count of downs on his final play with seconds remaining, and the Bears beat the Bucks 20-19 after Cairo Santos's 38-yard field goal with 1:17 remaining. And as I said earlier when talking about the Bears, they shouldn't have had, the Bucks shouldn't have had 1:17 remaining because Matt Nagy didn't understand, again, the game situation at the end. He could have bled the clock down a lot more. DeAndre Houston Carson broke up Brady's fourth down pass with 33 seconds left after Santos's a go-ahead field goal. Brady put up four fingers. You know the rest of it. It was actually fifth down, so doesn't count. I don't know if you know that about football. Nose tackle Vita Vea taken from the field on a cart with less than 2 minutes remaining after a teammate rolled up on his right leg as well. I will say Green Bay. I'll give Green Bay some respect here. Put some respect on their name, as the kids like to say. But I won't give them a full field goal. I'll say minus 2.5.
Yeah, actually, you're a little high. It's 1.5. I see a 2 out there. My numbers come to Packers 3 with no home field advantage. I'm going to give the Bucks a little bit. So I have no beef with the 1.5. But I got to tell you, I have the Packers like within 2 points of the best team in the league. You know, this is a good team right now. And, you know, they're playing great. And I'm really looking forward to this matchup. This really should be a lot of fun to watch.
All right, let's do one more here.
The Rams at the 49ers.
Rams at the 49ers. Okay.
Now, that's the Sunday night game. This is the Sunday night game next week.
We've already gotten to a Sunday night game. Wow.
Well, we're in the shuffle.
There's
two more Sunday games after this.
Okay. Well, we'll do it out of order. So Rams at Niners. Rams 4-1, Niners 2-3. Now, the Niners loss yesterday was the biggest survivor killer yesterday. So survivor at Circa, our buddies over at Circa, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm, they started their inaugural survivor contest this year with 1,390 entries. Before this week, they had 629 left. After the early games yesterday, they had 571 left because the Chiefs had lost. The Bucs had lost on Thursday, but that didn't take out many. And the Falcons had lost, too. By the way, the Patriots postponement means everybody who had the Patriots got knocked out, too. And the Bills, because that's right, they play after 2 a.m. on Tuesday, obviously. That pick got knocked out, too. But it was the 49ers' loss. The 49ers, who had 168 selections of the 629 that went into the weekend, that's what really dropped it. So more than 25% of all entries headed into this weekend die with the Niners. And I think we have, going into tonight, we have 403 left. So less than 30% of the original 1390. And if the Saints lose tonight, it dips to below 25% because 77 people are on the Saints.
And Michael Thomas is out.
And Michael Thomas is out. We said that at the top of the show because of an altercation, not because of the injury. All right, so as far as the Niners then, the Niners get absolutely boat raced. And I do mean boat raced by the Miami Dolphins, which is one of my picks in the contest. 43-17. 43-17, the Niners get rolled in this game. Jimmy Garoppolo, 7 of 17 for 77 yards in the first half. No touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked three times. That's a 15.7 passer rating, a career low. That's at a 158.3, 15.7 for Garoppolo. And he was put on the bench for what Kyle Shanahan described as, we're just trying to protect him. Right. C.J. Beathard came in. He was 9 of 18 for 94, one touchdown, no picks, two sacks. The Niners were 2 of 10 on third down. They were 0 of 2 on fourth down. They only had 259 total yards of offense. They were minus 3 in turnovers, 0 for the Dolphins, 3 for the Niners. And they only had the ball 23 minutes and 7 seconds. Is any of that any good? The Niners are 0 and 3 at home this year and 2 and 0 at MetLife. That's their record this year. 2-0 at MetLife, 0-3 at home. And even and the officials didn't help them out either. Didn't help out the Dolphins either. There was a play on one of the two 49ers touchdown drives where the officials completely let the Niners off the hook because they called this very vague helmet to helmet on one of the Dolphins defenders on third down. Niners should have been off the field. This game could have easily been worse. 43-17 Dolphins. As far as the Rams, they beat the Washington football team. As we said, Goff was 21 of 30 for 309, two touchdowns, one pick, one sack. They had the ball, did the Rams, 35 minutes and 35 seconds against Washington, who I said, who I had mentioned earlier, had only 108 total yards of offense. So the Rams just feasting on the NFC East. Rams at Niners. At this point, the Rams have got to be favorites. Will it be the full three? I don't know. I'll say minus 2.5 here as well.
Well, my numbers come to 3.5 Rams with no home field advantage, and I am not giving them any home field advantage. Like you just said, they're 0-3 at home, and they've never had much since they moved to that new stadium. So I like the 3.5, and I got to tell you, I'm looking at my numbers. You know what Jimmy G's QBR was yesterday? 1.4.
1.4 out of 100 and a passer rating of 15.7 at a 158.4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
that's
good.
Some of the worst numbers I've ever seen, ever. Man, that's bad. That's like Blake Bortles type numbers right there. Sorry, Blake, I shouldn't throw that out there.
We apologize to the Bortles family.
I do. I shouldn't have mentioned that.
That's all right.
But anyway, I like the 3.5. I'll tell you right now. And there are two teams that going into this season that I thought were ignored or downgraded for no real apparent reason, the Titans being one and the Rams being the other. I mean, it's still a pretty good team, this Ram team. I think they're definitely a contender. And I like them this week. But, you know, anything under 3.5, I would be looking to play the Rams.
A lot of people went with the Niners, boy. And a lot of people staked their survivor claim on the Niners. Let's try to squeeze in one more here before the break.
We have the Jets at the Dolphins. And this is a 1 o'clock game. This is an afternoon game.
Okay. So this is where we get to the point where we have to talk about the domino effect. So because the New England Denver game got postponed, here's what happened. Now, this is all it makes some people's heads explode, but if you do it in the proper order, it makes it shows you the exact domino. So New England getting postponed against Denver causes this effect. New England Denver goes from this coming week to New England Denver rather goes gets postponed to next week. What that does is unseat the Broncos' previously scheduled game against the Dolphins. So the Dolphins-Broncos moves from week 6 to week 11. That unseats the Broncos game that was originally scheduled for week 11 against the Chargers. That Chargers-Broncos game moves from week 11 to week 8. That unseats the Chargers game that was originally scheduled for week 8 against the Jaguars. So that moves from week 8 to week 7, which unseats the Chargers game on week 7, was originally scheduled against the Dolphins. That moves from week 7 to week 10, which unseats the Dolphins game that was originally scheduled for week 10, the Jets-Dolphins game, which moves from week 10 back to this week, which is the game you just brought up, which means that the Jets-Chargers game originally scheduled for this weekend moves from week 6 to week 11. Got all that? Wait, there's more. Is there more? Or is that all of them? That's it. So one postponement causes this domino effect of games where the NFL has just had to, all right, well, if that moves to there, that has to move to there. If that moves to there, that has to move to there. And they go on and do this. So I used to, I say this during baseball season all the time with pitchers when they have stats that are unsustainable. I sing the old Nat King Cole unforgettable tune. This is unsustainable. This, like, you can't keep doing this and expect for this to work out. Like, not everything is going to have 8 perfect steps, right? Where this is all going to get reshuffled.
And but, mostly the Chargers that got reshuffled, and they're not even playing in the game.
And that's a great point. What Jason just said, the Chargers have nothing to do with any of this. And they've got a whole bunch of games reshuffled, and most importantly, like the Steelers were complaining about last week, the Chargers don't get their bye later when they'd more favorably have it because you supposedly would have more injuries later in the season. The Chargers get their bye now, even though the Chargers do have injuries, obviously, with Tyrod Taylor and Austin Ekeler and all that. But so they, the innocent bystander, are the most affected by all of this. So the game that in all of that ends up being in week 6 is the one you just mentioned, the Jets at the Dolphins. Whew, Lord. Jets 0-5. They get crushed by the Cardinals. That was my survivor pick. I also had the Cardinals in the contest. Joe Flacco, 18 of 33 for 195, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Jameson Crowder was his biggest target, 8 for 116 and a touchdown. But they gave up 496 total yards to the Cardinals. And then Miami against the Niners, we already talked about that destruction. They scored on 9 of 12 possessions. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 22 of 28 for 350, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was only sacked twice. Preston Williams was his biggest target, 4 for 106 and a touchdown. Gesicki, 5 for 91. Devontae, 2 for 50 and a touchdown. Miami had the ball 36-53 and were plus 3 in turnovers. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick's way of saying, Tua, keep your seat on the bench. I'm going to say Miami minus 7.5, and I might be low. Chrissy, hold the number, because we got to take a break. But that's the reshuffling. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is going to be a fascinating NFL season. So my guess would be Miami minus 7.5. We'll get back to that. It's all brought to you by BetMGM.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, we got a few more things to get to here. First of all, Jason, congratulations on your Lakers winning the NBA championship, their 17th NBA championship, which ties them with the Boston Celtics for the most ever. The Lakers do it by virtue of a game that was over by halftime, and I'm being kind. 106-93, the final score does not do the blowout justice. Lakers in six.
They should have won it in five, but we'll take six, and I guess we'll just get the parade whenever the parade happens.
And you were making the point off air
that it's kind of a drag that the Lakers win and they don't get to celebrate. The people in Los Angeles don't get to celebrate as a group. They actually took people away from the Staples Center yesterday, and it looks like the Dodgers are in the catbird seat, and might be another championship that the city of L.A. just doesn't get to celebrate.
Oh, cry me a river. I speak on behalf of everybody outside of L.A.
Well, there's definitely some sad people in L.A. about it.
Here's Irvin Magic Johnson putting it all in context for us. The world champion Lakers dominated the Heat with their swarming defense and controlled the Heat perimeter players, Hero, Robinson, and Butler. Their smothering defense turned into fast breaks on offense. That's why they blew out the Heat.
Easy to say after you walk away from the team.
Ooh.
Well,
Wow.
We'll see how today shakes out.
Okay. Congratulations to you, sir. What would you put your enthusiasm versus my Iga Swiatek enthusiasm as?
133rd.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to this. Chris Velika texting, by the way, Chrissy. As you saw, Chris Velika texting, a tradition unlike any other. He is in line, getting his protocol COVID test while listening to Guessing Line. So we appreciate that. And then the great Brent Musburger texting, listening to you and Chrissy as I drive to Montana for bye week. Great stuff. How about those Raiders? He always throws that in there. Thank you, Brent. I appreciate that. I appreciate both of you guys. All right. So it's Miami and the Jets. This one at Miami. Miami now 2-3. I guessed 7.5.
Well, we've only been talking about this game for about half an hour, but I'm going to open the Dolphins 8. My numbers come a lot higher, but again, I'm looking diminishing returns. Take another drink there, Randall. I think 8's okay, but I'm going to use as high as I can. Right now, 8's the highest. I see 1.5, but 8 is going to be the number. But if it goes higher, I'm going to go higher. The Jets are just so bad. And one of the guys says, yeah, it looks like if they're tanking for Trevor, keeping Adam Gase as your head coach would be a brilliant move. So.
What was that? There was a play in that game yesterday. Again, I had the Cardinals in Survivor, Cardinals in the contest, and it was in the first half. And I'm going to get the details on this wrong because I didn't write these down. But it was the Jets had a third and short, and Frank Gore was on the sidelines. They weren't using him, and I could see Frank Gore's face. You could almost see the bubble over his face, over his head. He was like, "I can't believe I'm not in this game." And of course, they run the ball right into the line at scrimmage, and they do it twice in a row. And then that's when you kind of knew, oh, the Cardinals are going to be fine in this game. It's not going to happen for the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Next, we're going back to a morning game. And there, you know, I guess, listen, there's no numbers on this game. It's Denver at New England. And I think everybody's just waiting to see, what's going on with Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And when is their next game? I've lost track of everything. You know, they play when?
Denver New England is the next game. That's on week 6 because this is the one that was postponed from this week. Remember this game was postponed from Sunday to Monday, I believe, and then from Monday to next week. And that's the game that started
that
domino.
That was supposed to be today, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you're right. We don't know if Cam Newton's playing or not. You would think with every delay that it would be more and more of a chance that Cam would play. And when last we saw Denver, they were beating the Jets, not this past Thursday night, but last Thursday, the Thursday night before this last Thursday night. So it's just like, you know, Denver's going to be on monster rest just like New England, so that cancels out. That was the game where Brett Rypien went 19 of 31 for 242 and two touchdowns and three picks, but Denver managed to beat the Jets. And then the Patriots, like, you can't even remember, right? You can't even remember the last time these teams, you're like, oh, that was the game where Melvin Gordon had that late touchdown to beat Jets teasers on that Thursday night. But you're right, there shouldn't be a line because we don't know who's playing starting quarterback for the Patriots at that point. All right, so that should leave, two more games?
Two more. So we got both on Monday of next week.
Okay. What are
those? The rotation is this is the late game, 5:15 start, originally scheduled, I think. Arizona at Dallas.
Arizona at Dallas. So this is a week next week that should have had buys for the Raiders, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Seahawks. Instead, it will be the Raiders, the Chargers, the Saints, and the Seahawks. But Arizona at Dallas is a Monday night game. Kyler Murray and Arizona coming off their win over the Jets. Murray, 27 of 37 for 380. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. He also, of course, had a touchdown on the ground. That's what he does, 9 for 31 and a touchdown on the ground. DeAndre Hopkins back to being back to filling up the stat sheet, 6 for 131 and a touchdown. What a couple of plays he made on a touchdown drive for the Cardinals. 496 total yards of offense for the Cardinals. 10 penalties for 59 yards, though. They got to clean that up. And then there's Dallas. And as happy as we were with Alex Smith making his triumphant return after 2 years, then it happened to Dak. Dak Prescott, 14 for 21 for 166. No touchdowns, one pick, and a sack. But he ran the ball in the third quarter of this game and got a gruesome injury. Compound fracture of the right ankle. He had surgery last night. He was scheduled to play 2020 or is playing 2020 on a franchise tag worth $31.4 million. Didn't strike a long-term deal with Jerry Jones in the offseason. It was just heartbreaking. Because like with Tony Romo, and I don't care if you're the biggest Cowboys hater, I'm a fan of the Washington football team growing up. No one hated the Cowboys as much as I did. But guys like Tony Romo and Dak, we get tweets, Jason Kahn. I don't know if you know that. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This morning, let's see here. Matt Russell talking about, I know in 2020 we all live for analyzing the analytics and coaching decisions. I do too, but other than quarterbacks, we rarely analyze the players anymore. Madison had acreage to his right and easily gets the first down with even a little vision. Obviously, Cook injury hurt. Yeah, no, I mentioned that. Mentioned it absolutely. That we are results-oriented oftentimes, and he did have a path. But if I'm being honest, I thought they should have done the quarterback sneak at that moment. And I wasn't wanting them to do another play. I was like, sneak it or kick the field goal, one or the other. But you're right. He could have easily had it. Trip Tepper, early window for Fox is really weak on Sunday. CBS may not want to move the Browns, Steelers, or Ravens, Eagles to the late window. Fox has Brady Rogers at 425 Eastern, which will bury all late window games. Maybe the league makes a call to move a game from 1 p.m. to 425, but I doubt it. Trip, I'm tripping because I don't know. I don't know anymore. It's hard enough to do guessing lines now because we have no idea what time games are at. Raj Body, hey, producer number 7. That's you, Jason. Remember your first hot girlfriend and how you couldn't stop thinking and talking about her? I'm setting the over-under at 4.5 on number of days this week that Gil mentions Iga Świątek while his real girlfriend takes a back seat for a little while. That is both funny and creepy, all simultaneously. Smarty Party, I think Whitey Ford passed last week. Yes, we mentioned him. Let's see here. Andy, gambling engineer, I don't know what's right or wrong with regard to the Vikings' decision last night, but it doesn't make sense to me that people fear the opposing quarterback if the team needs a field goal, but not if he needs a touchdown. The only way to keep the quarterback you're scared of out of the equation, and he says ... is exactly what the Vikings tried to do. Again, I favor the sneak. But I hear what you're saying. But I also hear what Chrissy was saying, which is, do the analytics factor in the fact that it's Russell Wilson and not the other players? Chrissy Andrews is here, my mishpucha. Chrissy, where did we leave off? For God's sakes, it's all so Arizona at Dallas. So about Dak Prescott's.
Yeah. By the way, let me interrupt.
Yeah,
one
please,
second.
Please.
One tweet. I'm going to go over 4.5 Days mentioned Iga Świątek for every Survivor pick that I've ever had in my life.
It's over 4.5 for show.
Over 4.5.
And well earned, yeah, by the way.
Thank you, Jason. If ever there was a moment to mention her every time this week, every time in a week, this would be that week. It's over for sure. Over's happening. Dak Prescott. It was just so heartbreaking to see him go off the field. Andy Dalton came in. Now, I think Dallas, you know, it could be argued Dallas has the best backup quarterback in the league on paper in Andy Dalton. 9 of 11 he was for 111 yards yesterday. No touchdowns, no picks, and a sack. Zeke, 19 of 91, 2 touchdowns. And CeeDee Lamb, 8 for 124. So Dallas ends up winning it against the Giants. And we've already talked about how the Giants kind of got the worst of it from officials, not once but twice. They lose it to the Giants. Cowboys win 37-34. They do not cover as 7.5-point favorites. They now are on top of the NFC East with a 2-3 record. But again, it will be Andy Dalton and not Dak Prescott moving forward. And I will say this, that game-winning drive, that field goal to win it for the Cowboys, talked about DeAndre Hopkins making two great plays on a drive for the Cardinals yesterday. Michael Gallup made about the two greatest sideline catches you could ever see consecutively on a game-deciding drive. That was unbelievable how he was able to corral the football twice while staying in bounds on two passes from Andy Dalton. So the Cowboys get it done. It's Arizona at Dallas. That said, Arizona should be a favorite. I'll do my 2.5 thing. I don't think it should be a full field goal, but I'll say Arizona minus 2.5 because that Dallas defense still is no good. No good. And if Daniel Jones was any good, apologies to Daniel Jones and his family, but if he was any good, Giants should have won that game, you know, going away.
It's 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog. I'm going to open 2.5, and I got to tell you, I love Dallas in this spot. It was one of the things Humans and I were talking about last night. I'm only lowering my power rating 2 points on Dallas because I think Andy Dalton will be able to utilize the many offensive weapons that Dallas has. And, yeah, their defense still stinks. You know, he's not going to be able to play safety or anything. But, you know, I think this team will really rally, especially that first game off of an injury, off of a major injury like that. I think they come out and really play hard on a Monday night. And this is the first game that I'd say I really love. I love Dallas in this spot. I'm opening 2.5.
Okay. What's last? Got to be the Raiders or Kansas. The Raiders are on bye, so it's got to be a Kansas City game, right?
Yeah.
Chiefs Bills.
You know, I hate to end on a note like this, but there's hardly any numbers. It's the Chiefs at the Bills.
Chiefs at the Bills, Chiefs lose to the Raiders, and that's what Brent was so excited about, and rightfully so. I mean, again, let me just stand up and raise my hand for anybody who made fun of John Gruden and all those trades, like the Khalil Mack trade, which was ridiculous, it seemed like, at the time, and all the other moves that he made and said, oh, my God, they got 10 years of this guy. Raiders 40, Chiefs 32, and by the way, probably wasn't that close. Raiders go in and snap the Chiefs' 13-game win streak, including the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes was 22 of 43 for 340, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. And this, most importantly, is the first – I don't know about most importantly, but it's an interesting detail from a gambling perspective. It's the first Patrick Mahomes loss as a pro by more than one score. Think about that. The first time Mahomes has lost as a pro by 8-plus points, by more than 8 points.
And favored by double digits.
Yeah, in the process. They were favored by what in the end in that game? 10. Yeah, 10 on the button. Kelce, 8 for 108 and a touchdown. Tyreek, 3 for 78, also a touchdown on the ground. But 10 penalties for the Chiefs for 94 yards. The Raiders were 7 of 14 on third downs. They were 2 of 2 on fourth downs, had 490 total yards of offense, and held the ball for 35 minutes and 17 seconds, an even bigger domination of the football in the first half. More so even than that full game number. So good for the Raiders. Congratulations to the Raiders, who are now 3-2 and may be a playoff contender. So give it up for the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, at halftime, Derek Carr was 11 of 13 for 246, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a sack. Before the game, 22 of 31 for 347. Jacobs, 23 of 77 for two touchdowns against the Chiefs. Ruggs, what a difference he makes. 2 for 118 and a touchdown. The Raiders' first win at KC since 2012. So if you're the Chiefs and that's your first loss of the season, look, you're still, you know, you're still the Super Bowl champion and you're still probably the best team in the NFL. I don't think that takes you away from that throne. But I don't know. Not a good performance. And now you're going to Buffalo. Buffalo's undefeated. I guess the Chiefs will be 3-point favorites, Chrissy, just out of the respect. But I'd imagine there'd be a lot of Buffalo money here, even on... Now, let me get this straight. Buffalo is playing Tuesday, tomorrow. So Buffalo is on short rest. So yeah, Kansas City minus three, I'll
say. Not that short.
Not that short, but still short.
Yeah, I only see a few numbers out there, but it is three is what I see. And I got to tell you, I have a lot of respect for Buffalo. Three would be a take for me. So I'm going to open three as a placeholder just to keep an eye on it. But I'm keeping an eye on it. If I see it skewed lower, I'm going lower because I think Buffalo plus three would be a take. Yeah, I definitely think that. Yeah, it's good. It's a good team, real good team. And this is the kind of game they've been waiting for, just like this. So I like them.
So when all is said and done, and this was the in many ways the most odd guessing lines to ever get through, because we had to completely get in our mind, like, who's playing and when are they playing, that sort of thing. And I'll just say it again. I left the air a couple days last week going, bet baseball and tennis, or I would scream EGA, because it's just my constant way of trying to get to the listeners, like, there are easier ways to make money than betting on the National Football League. And here's how quirky the NFL is. I hated that card last week. And that was by far my best week of the year against the spread. Like, there's just no rhyme or reason to the National Football League. So on this one, Chrissy, what did you like the best if you're betting?
Well, I like Dallas. I think they beat Arizona. I think they come up big, man, next Monday night. I think Dallas, and if we settle on three as KC, the number over Buffalo, I'm definitely going to like Buffalo. So those are the two so two home dogs on Monday night. I know that's kind of like the old system from the 70s probably. But I would like both home dogs on Monday night. Those are the two I like best. But I got to tell you, I'm going to look at this Cleveland game, and I've said it. I think that the wise guys are going to be on the dog in this game. I'm not telling you the winner, but I'm telling you, the wise guys are going to play Cleveland, and I think they have the right idea. Anything over the three, I think, would be a take for me on Cleveland.
I like Carolina. I had 3.5. You said it was 2.5 against the Bears. I like Washington in a teaser. If it tees them up to 9, I don't know if I love them against the number, but I certainly love them in a teaser. Should I go back to the Bengals well again, getting 7 against the Colts? I think I might.
I like them too. I'm going to put a question mark there because that's the worst game they played all year. But playing the Colts, I don't know. That looks like a good take to me too. Yeah.
I think those are the ones I like the most. The rest of them, I like Miami against the Jets, but now they're a big favorite, so I don't know if that's not really a betting situation for me. Going to be fascinating. Going to be fascinating tonight with the Chargers and the Saints. Saints favored by 7, but no Michael Thomas, as we mentioned. Going to be fascinating if they get this game off tomorrow between the Bills and the Titans. Thank you, Chrissy, as always, man.
My pleasure, Gil. Always a pleasure.
Guessing lines for week 6 in the National Football League. Good luck with baseball today from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey,
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.